doors fling wide. I see glory. Yeah. I run inside the throne room. Yeah. And before you, I bow, I bow.
And the veil is torn, and the doors fling wide. I see glory as I run inside the throne room. Before you, I bow, I bow. The veil is torn, the doors fling wide. I see glory as I run inside the throne. Before you, I bow. The veil is torn, the doors fling wide.
Is Go ahead and give him praise this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we worship you. There is none like you. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. All right, you may be seated this morning. Hallelujah. It's good to worship the Lord. We got a lot to learn about that, don't we? A lot to learn. Well, good morning, everybody. I hope everybody's doing good today. Don't be doing that now. Don't be yawning in front of me. That is not allowed. Oh, praise be to God. I want everybody to take your Bibles. We've been turning with me first. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. You know, I've even talked about some of this in recent weeks, but it just keeps coming back to me as I was praying this morning early. And as I've been praying this morning during praise and worship, just saying, okay, Lord, where are we going? But we need to definitely lay down this truth again, because there's so many Christians that seem to not understand this. And folks, what I'm about to share with you, this is the absolute, probably most important principle that a Christian must get a hold of, okay? And if you don't, you will be deceived. That's just the way it is. If you don't accept this, you don't believe this, and you don't look at the Word of God the way we're going to read about it this morning, then you will be deceived in some way. But we're going to start at verse 16 here, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. And I love this because Peter is writing here knowing that he's at the end of his life. And when a man knows that he is about to die, his last words become very important. And this was this second epistle of Peter, he knew he was about to be martyred for his faith. And so he says here right after that, verse 16, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Somebody say, knowing this first. When? First. Knowing this first, Christians, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Then he immediately starts off chapter 2 with, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Uh-oh. Who privily, I love that old English word there, it means by stealth or in secret, shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and shall bring upon themselves swift destruction. And a few shall follow their pernicious. What? Many. That's right. See if y'all paying attention. Many shall follow their pernicious, another good old English word there, destructive ways. Listen to this. By reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Now let's just stop for a minute. He said, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture, and let me just go on and tell you that all Scripture from Genesis to Revelation is prophecy in the one sense, because prophecy can be defined as speaking or communicating by the inspiration of God. That's one of the definitions of prophecy. It also means to foretell events. It's both. Sometimes it's both in the same, and sometimes it's just speaking by inspiration, and sometimes it's speaking by inspiration and foretelling of future events. So all the Scripture is prophecy. And don't we know that Bible talks about that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, Revelation 19. So the whole Bible, really from Genesis to Revelation, is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Everything leading up to his first coming, the fact that he would die on the cross for our sins, he'd be raised from the dead, all of that was foretold in the Old Testament and then fulfilled when he came. And then there's so much more that's going to be fulfilled at his second coming because Jesus Christ is going to return. Now, let me just say this right now and just need to understand this. The natural man, this is what Paul said to the Corinthians, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Why don't y'all put that one up for me? Because this is something I want to get across strongly today. The Word of God to the natural man, and I will say this, to the unsaved man or to the carnal Christian, is foolishness. You do understand that. This is why, I'm getting more and more irritated by Christians who defend the foolishness of the world and deny what God said, plainly said. I'm sorry, but I'm tired of it. And I'm tired of Christians telling me, Christians, mind you, that I am foolish for believing what this book says. You hear what I'm saying? No. When everything is said and done, and we stand before the judgment of God, if I have believed the Bible and you chose to believe man, I can tell you who the fool's going to be. You hear what I'm saying? And you say, oh, Pastor Dean, you shouldn't say fool. Well, the Spirit of God spoke through Solomon a lot about who was wise and who was a fool. All right? And there are people, I'm sorry, but there's going to be the wise and there's going to be the foolish. And the foolish, let me give you a simple definition of the foolish. People who say they follow Jesus, say they believe the Bible, but when the rubber meets the road, they really don't believe what the Bible says. This prophecy of the Scripture from Genesis to Revelation did not come by man. It was not by the will of man. It was not by the ability of man. Holy men of God spake or wrote down what the Spirit of God breathed upon them, moved upon them, showed them or told them or inspired them to write. That's why this book is not like any other book that's ever been written. Listen, folks, when you can say over 300 prophecies were fulfilled that were written some thousands of years before Jesus came, and you can say that you have hundreds of those prophecies and no other book can say that. That there's hundreds of prophecies fulfilled in one man, the birth of one person, the life, the ministry, the death, the resurrection. Folks, I'm going to tell you right now, there's no other way. The Quran doesn't touch this. The Hadith can't do that. The Hindu Vedas, not even close. Not even Nostradamus. You hear what I'm saying? There's no other book like this. It is not of man's origin. And the moment that you say, well, I believe some of it, but I don't know. Okay, you've listened to the devil then. Because he said to know this first. Folks, let me tell you something right now, Christians. The very foundation of our faith is that this book is the inspired, inerrant words of Almighty God that He told or spoke or showed men to write down. And the proof of that it was supernatural and divine and from Him is because He knows the end from the beginning. And he even said in Isaiah, there's no one that does it. I like with the Lord. Nobody does it like me. And he could say that ain't bragging if you can do it, right? I think I remember hearing that before. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now let's go to 2 Timothy 3. I'm going to read some more of it. We're going to lay a little foundation before we dive in this morning, all right? We might have an hour introduction. And if I can do this, having my cracked tooth removed and a bone graft put in and still feeling the pain of that, y'all can listen to me this morning, all right? Second Timothy 3, let's go down. Y'all know I love this. Verse 13, this was talking to Paul, was talking about in the last days, and the Holy Spirit came on him very strongly, he said, and moved him to write this. And he said, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And I've preached on this chapter a lot in the last few years. But I want to focus in on this. He says, he told Timothy, the young pastor, but you continue in the things which you have learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now, wait a minute. You have known what? A vision? A dream? A prophet coming to you? And all those things can happen and be of God. But what did he say? You have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to do what? Make you wise, and not a fool, but wise unto salvation, meaning this is how you're going to obtain salvation, is because you know the scriptures. This is how evil men who are getting worse and worse and deceiving are not going to be able to deceive you if you will, what? Continue in the scriptures. Continue in what you have learned from the scriptures. I should say this is Christianity 101, but again, I don't know, some churches hadn't heard it in 20 years because it's been seeker sensitive. And it's not sensitive to say that the Bible is right and whatever you believe is wrong if it doesn't match this. I mean, I just got called a hater this morning because I said if a communist, if a person puts forth the principles of communism, I said, well, if it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck and it looks like a duck, it's probably a duck, a commie duck, right? And they just got so offended. And I was like, if you put forth the principles of Marxism, you're a commie. I don't care what you call yourself. The same principle here. If you're a Christian, the foundation of your faith here is the Bible, is the Word of God, period. And anything that's contrary to it is a lie. Anything. Even if that anything has a budget of $52 million a day. Hint, hint. We'll get there in a minute. He says, and from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture. Somebody say all.
All.
Wait a minute, is it part of it?
All.
No, he said all. Guess what? I looked it up in the Greek. Guess what it means?
All.
Right? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Or that means it is literally God breathed. Using the same terminology of when God formed Adam from the dust of the earth, from the dirt, and it breathed in him, and he became a living soul. That's the same thing. He's saying that this word came from the same life-giving Holy Spirit that made Adam alive, that made Eve alive, that really makes all of us alive. Because in him we live and move and have our being. Amen? Here's what he said. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine. Doctrine is instruction, teaching, the fundamental principles of our faith. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or the woman of God may be perfect, that is, mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All scripture. Now let me show you something else. It's okay if we keep going down this road? Let's keep going down this road. Let's go to Psalms 12. Psalms 12. Somebody say this is good. Laying the foundation. Psalm 12. Everybody get there. We'll let you get there. Verse 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou, speaking of the Lord, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Did somebody hear that? God said through King David, 1000 BC approximately, that he would preserve his words forever. Now here's what's beautiful. Let's just talk about the Old Testament for a second. The Old Testament, 39 books, right? We know finished the last prophet, Malachi, about 450 B.C. That's the accepted time period that the Old Testament was finished. So for a minimum 450 years before Jesus was born. All right. Then we have, as I shared before, the secular witness of Ptolemy the Second Philadelphus of Egypt, who had the Old Testament, the complete Old Testament, Genesis to Malachi. He had the complete Old Testament translated from Hebrew to Greek by 72 scholars, which is called the Septuagint version. So that was in between 250 and 248 B.C., right? So we have a secular confirmation that those scriptures were finished. So 250 years later, we have Jesus, the Messiah, prophesied in those scriptures, stepping on the scene. Those scriptures said he would be born in Bethlehem, Micah 5:2. He would be born in Bethlehem. Guess where the Messiah was born? Bethlehem. Said he'd have a ministry beginning in Galilee. Guess what? That's in Isaiah, right? Oh, it goes down the list, right? That he would heal the sick, the blind, the lame, the dumb. He would cast out demons. All of this in Isaiah. Oh, there's so much that this book tells us. He'd be born of a virgin, right? Isaiah 7:14. That he would be the son, but he would also be called, what? The everlasting father, the mighty God. Telling us again that God would be manifest in the flesh. This mystery of the triune nature of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right there. There's going to be a son born of a virgin, but he's also called the everlasting Father and the mighty God. Isaiah 9:6. All of this is in there. Isaiah 53, that he would be wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace would be upon him. And by his stripes, we would be healed. That he would be numbered among the transgressors. That he would be buried in the rich man's tomb. All of these things so specific that he would rise from the dead, Psalm 16. Even Psalm 22, David prophesied, my hands and my feet are pierced. They cast lots for my garments. 1000 B.C. God said, I will preserve these words forever. So we come, we get down into the late 1800s, and we get into the time period where everybody starts going, well, those prophecies were written after the fact. We don't have any proof that they were ancient, blah, 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 blah. But you know what God did? God had some crazy people put all these little scrolls of these books around 300 B.C., in some little clay pots and sealed them and put them in these caves in the deserts of Israel. And when he finally wanted to make a fool out of all the scholars questioning God's word, all the biblical theologians who, don't really believe it. You know, just like, you know, one of my pastors, Dr. Larry Lee, I attended his church in Rockwall, Texas, back in the late 80s and early 90s. And he went to Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. You know, there's three Baptist meccas in the country. There's Fuller Theological Seminary out in California. I think it's in Pasadena. Then there's Southwestern Theological Seminary in Fort Worth, Texas. And then there's the one in New Orleans, I can't remember, but it's those are the three main Baptist seminaries. But think about this. He was in seminary in the late 1960s, early 70s, Dr. Lee was, and he said that in his graduate class, in his doctoral classes, they told him that the first 11 chapters of Genesis were a true myth. This is what the professor said, they were a true myth, and they said that the theological implications are true, but there probably wasn't ever a man named Adam. There probably wasn't ever a man named Noah. And, of course, Larry Lee raised his hand, and he said, I was about as popular as a bulldog in a pussycat convention. But he said, I raised my hand, and I said, well, Jesus thought they were real, and Paul thought they were real. And the professor said, well, they just don't have the information that we have today. They didn't have the information. Now, that's a Baptist seminary in the late 60s. But what I want to back up to is God proved that all of these Old Testament scriptures, that what they had back then, we still have today. When he caused that little shepherd boy to throw a rock up in there in one of those caves, and he heard something break, and he went up there and he found these scrolls. And it's one of the greatest archaeological discoveries, especially and manuscript discoveries, biblical manuscript discoveries, I should say, of mankind, of all the ages. And in that, it contained all the books of the Old Testament, I think, except for Esther. And, of course, it did include, also, it had the book of Enoch in there. But it had the copper scroll of Isaiah. They really focused on Isaiah. And when they rolled out the copper scroll of Isaiah and compared it to what's in my Textus Receptus King James Version of the Bible, Isaiah, guess what? There was only about 2 to 3% discrepancies, and those were just minor grammar issues, meaning all the words were there. And it was exactly what it says. Nothing changed over a 2,300-year period about there. Think about that. No other book can say this. With the New Testament, 25,000 manuscript, some remnants, some entire books, some partial books, but we have pieces of manuscripts of the New Testament going back to the first century, going back to A.D. 35, 52, of John, Galatians. And then you have the testimony of John, the Apostle John, living an old life to an old man, and him training people like Polycarp and passing this on to them, to the next generation. Again, no other religion can say this. These words are true. Folks, let me tell you something right now. If God's word says the sky is purple, and a man comes in here telling me it's blue, and they come out and say, come look at it, it's blue, I'm going to say it's purple. You understand? You say, well, Pastor Dean, then you're going to be a science denier. No. Because when God opens that man's eyes, he's going to see the sky's purple. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just using that as an illustration. I'm going to believe God. I don't care what crazy men do. I don't care if they tell me they saw a curve somewhere. I haven't seen it. You understand? And I'll tell you something else, too. God's word is true about every single thing. Genesis 1. And folks, I'm going to tell you right now, if we can't believe Genesis 1, or you're going to say, well, NASA's got Genesis 1 right and we don't. I mean, come on, NASA says the sun was made first and then everything else, our solar system evolved around the sun, right? Right. At least a few billion, right? Our solar system alone. But God said the earth came first and then 4 days later the sun. That's a pretty dramatic difference just in that right there. So what was the earth spinning around and flying around for 4 days? God said he preserved his words. His words. Let me read something else to you. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 4. I'm jumping ahead of myself. I'm getting ready to have too much fun. I know I quoted this one last week, I believe. Of course, this is Jesus quoting Deuteronomy But he says here when Satan tempted him in one of the temptations, verse 4, and you can always remember Matthew 4, 4, but he, that is Jesus, answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Somebody say every word. Every word, every word, every word, every word. Now, again, we believe that God breathed, spoke, inspired, gave every word of this to men like Moses, like Joshua, like Jeremiah, like Ezekiel, Daniel, Peter, Paul, James, and John. You understand, this is what the Bible teaches. This is what history reveals to us. This is what archaeology reveals to us. This is what manuscript evidence reveals to us. Every word. So, folks, I'm going to tell you right now, and I started this out with this right here, just if I get this across to you. The moment you allow Satan, whether he comes and talks in your little precious ear to that little gray matter up there, or he sends some fool to you to talk to you, the moment you begin to say, well, I believe you over the Bible, you just got deceived. You just got led astray. You are headed down the road of destruction. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians. I say I love the Bible. I love the Bible. You know, I have always loved it. Even when I was a kid, even when I didn't know a lot of the things that I needed to know. I want to start reading from verse 18. Well, this is actually after I came back to the Lord in 1987, repented of my wayward years of being of a teenager. This is one of the first verses that I learned, that I memorized, was 1 Corinthians 1:18. It'd be a good one for everybody to remember. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish. Perish is a present tense Greek verb. It means those who are perishing and continue to perish and are perishing right now. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Somebody say, it is the power of God. When he talks about the preaching of the cross, he's talking about the preaching of the cross, the message of the gospels, the message of the apostles from the New Testament. And he's saying the preaching of the cross, what Jesus did on the cross, his resurrection, his atoning death, everything about it, who he was, who he had to be, God in the flesh, lived a sinless life. The Holy One, the Messiah, the one who would be in the grave but yet never see corruption, would rise from the dead. That one, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Now, I've got Christians and I got all kinds of people attacking me out there because I believe the biblical account of creation. But some of these same people walk around saying that they believe that they're Christians, and they believe, and to be a Christian, you must believe that Jesus Christ, God Almighty, became flesh, right? Was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died on the cross as an atoning sacrificial death for the sins of mankind, went into the grave, rose from the dead 3 days later, appeared to them for 40 days and 40 nights, and then ascended to heaven with the promise, I will return. All right? All of this is in there. Now, let me ask you something about modern science. Does modern science say a man can be beaten half to death
then nailed to a cross, then have a spear thrust in his side, be confirmed dead for 3 days, and then walk out of that tomb that had a 7-ton stone rolled in front of it. Now, would your modern scientist, you know, your priest in the white robes, ever say that that is scientifically possible? No, they wouldn't. To be a Christian, everything we believe to that secular world of academia, of what they call science, all of that to them is foolishness. Not just creation, all of it. They don't believe God became a man, that he was born of a virgin, that he died on the cross for our sins, that he rose from the dead, and that if you believe that, it can change your life. They don't believe that. That's why most of them are atheists or into some other kind of demonic occult religion, right? All of it is foolishness to them. So why would a Christian be ashamed of believing what the Bible says about creation if we're going to believe what the Bible says about Jesus? No, you're ashamed because you've either been brainwashed by this secular world, this system, or you're just afraid to stand for the truth. You're afraid to face the reproach, the ridicule, the attacks, because you stand for the truth. It's that simple. See, my only crime in this campaign of running for God, the only thing they got, it's all they got, because like I said, there's no honeys. I ain't been in politics to rob anybody blind. So all they got is, oh, he's a flat earther. He believes in flat earth. Oh, the world is over. We can't let that happen. No, I believe the earth is exactly what the Bible says it is. And here's what's funny is there's so much outside evidence to prove it. But because these people, and I'm going to tell you right now, when it comes down to the truth about creation, you either worship God and believe him or you worship NASA and believe them. I'm sorry. NASA is an idol to many Christians. Because truth be told, their other idols are movies and sci-fi and space and, and aliens coming to take us somewhere. All this stuff. He said, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. Like aliens from far, far away. Y'all know that NASA just hired some Catholic priests to prepare people for aliens? Coming. Now, does that sound like a scientific organization or a religious organization? Yeah, well, I'll tell you, you know why Catholic. But hear what I'm saying. Let's do this real quick. Let's read a little bit more of this. I just love this. Let's keep reading. He says, verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy. God says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. The ones who are wise in this world think they're smart. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For if after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. Why did he call it the foolishness of preaching? Because again, to the world, everything I preach out of this book is foolishness to them. But what's sad is now a lot of it is foolishness to people who call themselves Christians. They don't believe it all anymore. You know why they think I'm an old-fashioned preacher? Because I actually am like the old-fashioned preachers. I actually believe the book. That's why I'm different. I believe it all, word for word. literal. I believe in God said he made the sun, he made the sun. When he made the moon, he made the moon. When he said he made two great lights, I believe that's exactly what he did. He didn't make one light and one reflector. Oh. But NASA says it's a reflector. Well, when they were allegedly on it, it didn't look like much of a reflector. Looked kind of dull and dark. Oh, here's the funniest thing. You want to hear the funniest thing from NASA lately? That they have a probe that just touched the sun. I kid you not. They have a probe that they say touched the sun. Now, wait a minute. They also told us that if the sun, you were on the bright side, the sun side of the moon, it was 250 degrees Fahrenheit. And then they start talking about the thermosphere. We're getting up into the thousands of degrees Fahrenheit. Wait a minute. Now, if you touch the sun, what human element from Earth could survive that and not melt? What the heck are they talking about? But yet people go, oh, NASA touched the sun. Oh, no, they're playing you for some fools. Cunningly devised fables. We touched the sun. Didn't they teach us that it's this burning ball inferno that's 93 million miles away? Not the dark. Jordan said not the dark side of it. I got to keep going. Hold on. Here we keep going. He said, verse 24, the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. That's why, you know what? I know I'm right. Because whenever you stick with God, you're going to be found out to be right. Now, they may think you're a fool for a long time. But I promise you, on the day it counts, called Judgment Day, they're going to go, he wasn't a fool, was he? He said, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, and not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen. And the things which are not to bring, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according to as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now, the foolishness of God. I love this. The foolishness of God. Why does it say, do you think anything about God is foolish? No. What he's saying is, the things that appear foolish to these blind men. Because there ain't nothing foolish about God. And if God says it's flat, it's flat. This is something y'all don't even realize. Genesis calls the earth the part of the dry land. God set it upon the water on pillars on the water. Only the dry land's called earth. Y'all get that, right? That's the Bible. But they try to call the whole thing, all the 71% of the waters in the seas, they call that earth. It's not. Created at different times, too. You had the water first. Then you had the dry land put on the water. And that's when the earth was made. You see that? See, again, you're going to believe. You say, oh, well, I've always seen the spinning ball. Yeah, because that's what they wanted you to see. That's what they wanted you indoctrinated with. They didn't want you to actually go by this book. You say, well, Pastor Dean, that just sounds crazy, foolish. You mean that you believe the earth is flat, immovable, still?
on pillars? Yeah, I do. 100%. And if that's my crime, lock me up. Because like Bugs Bunny said, I ain't moving and you can't make me move, Smarty Pants. God's word is true. And I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed that I follow Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I'm not ashamed that I believe the Bible is the inspired word of God. I am not ashamed of the cross of Jesus Christ. Not ashamed to believe he rose from the dead on the third day. I'm not ashamed to believe that he's going to return. I'm not ashamed to believe that he wants to baptize his children in his Holy Spirit with the gift of speaking in unknown tongues. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed to say I cast out demons and pray for the sick to be healed. I'm not ashamed. Are you? Paul had to tell Timothy. Timothy was a scaredy cat. Y'all know that, right? He was a fearful, little shaken. We got Christians like that. I'm telling you right now. Fear rules their life. They're scared of everything. And at one point, Paul had to tell Timothy, whom he basically mentored from a young man, don't be ashamed of me. Think about that. How that must have hurt Paul. It's like, what is wrong with you, son? Why are you so worried about what everybody thinks? I mean, there are people right now who were supporting me in this race for governor. They find out what I believe about creation. Oh, God, they're slinking away into the darkness now. Chickens. Why are you ashamed of the truth? I'm sorry. I know this hurts some people's feelings, but let's can we go to Genesis 1 for a minute? Yeah, it was only about 40 minutes long. Foolish. Foolishness is what we're talking about. Let's just read a little bit here. Can we read a little bit of Genesis 1? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, let me say this. Of course, I do believe in the gap. I don't call it the gap theory, I call it the gap fact, but that's not what I want to get to today. But I want to show you something here. Wait a minute now. Day one, God creates the light. Let there be light. And there was light. And he said there was an evening and a morning. Wait a minute. The sun's not even here yet. Y'all see that? To them that think it's 4 billion years of Big Bang, nothing exploded and created everything, and somehow we won the lottery 50 billion million times. And it just all worked out to create one little tiny cell amoeba that finally climbed out of the primordial ooze and somehow grew legs and became a tadpole and then became a frog. And you know, I mean, just ridiculous, right? Tell me what. First of all, was anybody there to see that or to witness that? No. So what is it, right? It's just a theory, right? Which is more foolish, that there is an almighty God able to create this place, or that there was some mystery explosion of nothing that produced all the matter in the so-called universe, and that somehow in this, you know, one little blue marble became able to sustain life? And then, of course, you know, we finally got monkeys, and we finally all slowly over millions and millions of years evolved from monkeys to become what we are today. You're going to tell me that's not foolishness? Yeah, somebody said we still have monkeys.
Yeah,
we sure do. They used to come visit me in the mornings when I was in Mauritius. They wanted to steal our breakfast. So the first day, God said, let there be light. There was light. I believe that light was just him. He let his light shine into creation. The sun is an afterthought later. Verse 6. See, this is where they all get messed up. God said, let there be a firmament. Somebody say a firmament. It's something. He said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which are above the firmament, and it was so. And he called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. So the first day we have God's light shining into creation. The second day we have the second most important aspect of all this, the firmament. And it said that it separated waters from the waters that are above it from the waters beneath it. Now, what are the waters beneath it? That would be our oceans, our rivers, our lakes. So what's the waters above it? Because NASA tells you that there is a vacuum of space, a negative 17 torr vacuum of space up against our atmosphere that we have no container to hold it in. I don't know, our atmosphere that are gases somehow miraculously are not sucked off the planet by a 17 torr vacuum without a barrier between it. Again, makes no sense. But what does the Bible teach about the firmament? What is the firmament? He calls it heaven. Well, wait a minute, didn't he say he just made the heaven already? What is this heaven? Well, he talks about there's three heavens. Paul said he went to the third heaven. So there must be three. So I'm going to tell you what the three are. The three, number one, the first heaven, is our atmosphere underneath the dome firmament. The second one is actually the solid firmament itself. It's called heaven. And then the third heaven is that sits upon the firmament. God's throne, literally, Ezekiel 1, sits upon that firmament. And that is the heaven above where he dwells. That's the three heavens. That's when Paul said he ascended to the third heaven. I didn't call the firmament heaven. Genesis chapter 1 called the firmament heaven. But it also calls our sky and atmosphere heaven, and it also calls God's throne where he dwells as heaven. Notice when it talks about, when Jesus talks about the powers of heaven will be shaken, and then the stars will fall to the earth. Does that in any way fit the modern NASA, Copernican, heliocentric view of what the stars are? No. Jesus said all the stars. In fact, Revelation 6 says all the stars fell to the earth. Neil deGrasse Tyson mocks this Bible passage because he says that means they didn't even know what the stars are. No, you don't know what the stars are because you don't even know what the shape of the earth is, because Neil deGrasse Tyson one minute says it's a perfect sphere, and the next minute he says, well, it's kind of pear-shaped. Well, is it pear? I've never seen a pear-shaped picture come from NASA. And then we've heard him talk about they don't know. He said they're 96% stupid. This is Neil deGrasse Tyson. We don't know about 96% of what's in the universe. We don't know what it is. Then he talks about there's missing mass. We can't figure out. There's more mass than there is, right, gravity that we can account for and all this nonsense. And I'm like, missing mass. That's why when I did the video of him talking about missing mass, I said, it's called the firmament, Chief. The missing mass you guys have left out is the firmament because it's solid. It's not a vapor. It didn't vanish at the time of Noah. How do we know it didn't vanish at the time of Noah? Well, in the Psalms, 1,500 years after Noah, Psalm 148, David talks about praising the waters that are still above the heavens. When the flood came, it says the windows of heaven were open and helped flood the earth. It wasn't just rain. Windows of heaven were open and rain and the fountains of the great deep. There were three things that happened to flood the earth in the days of Noah. Oh, I don't believe that. I don't care if you think it's foolishness. Again, there's all this evidence that there were actually two floods, but we won't talk about that. Noah's flood is why we have oil. Oil's not dinosaurs under there, by the way. It's all that decaying, trapped foliage under there. Had nothing to do with dinosaurs. Lord have mercy. Fossil fuels. It's not fossil fuels. It's just insane with the stuff we believe. The firmament. You just ask a preacher what the firmament is. I played this a while back. This guy called it. He called preachers, pastors. He called priests. He called, he even called some rabbis. Could you tell me what this is, this thing, the firmament? One of them said, well, it's the earth. He goes, well, wait a minute now. He says the sun, moon, and stars were put in the firmament. So how's that? How's the sun, moon, and stars in the earth? And the guy goes, yeah, that doesn't really work, does it? And then another one says, oh, well, the popular theory in Christendom is, oh, it was a vapor canopy that condensed, and that was what the flood of Noah was, but now it's gone. It's not there anymore. Really? That's not the picture Jesus paints. Jesus says that the firmament literally has the stars attached to it. But now the world mocks this that I'm telling you. But this is what Jesus said. He said that when he comes, the firmament's going to depart or be rolled back like a scroll. And he said that the stars are going to fall to the earth like a fig tree, like figs from a fig tree when it's shaken of a mighty wind. So what he's saying is the firmament is going to be shaken as it's rolled back, and the stars that are attached to it are going to fall to the earth. Now, if stars are these massive suns, one star fell to the earth, that'd be it. People say, oh, well, that's a, he's not talking about real stars. He's talking about meteorites. Wait, time out. God didn't say he made anything else, folks, but the firmament and the sun and the moon and the stars. And even in Corinthians, he says there's a different glory of the sun, of the moon, and the stars. He didn't talk about anything else. No planets. No stuff. You say, well, what's that stuff we see falling? I believe it's just angelic activity, but we'll get to that in a minute. But see, again, do we believe God's word? So, day two, he makes the firmament. What's the Bible tell us about the firmament? He tells us it's like a molten glass. Put it up for me. Put it, Job 37. 18, yeah. Let's read it here. Yeah, all the higher-ups, and this is what's so sad, is all the higher-ups, the high-level occultists, the high-level Freemasons, the high-level Satanists, and all the high-level occultists in the world, and even the high-level-ups in most militaries know this to be true. But it says here, hast thou with him spread out the sky, which is strong as a molten looking glass. Does that sound anything like some kind of mysterious vapor? No, God said it's strong as a molten looking glass. Then we find out from Ezekiel 1, I think it's about verse 26. Ezekiel says, I saw the firmament. He said, I saw the firmament. And he said, and I saw the throne, the sapphire throne, upon the firmament. Isn't it interesting that God says the earth is his footstool? Can I say this? The firmament is part of the earth system, the terrarium he made. And God sits on it. Literally, his throne sits on this molten glass, sea of glass, it's called. And you see it talked about in Revelation. And it says the people who are in heaven are standing on the sea of glass. And Paul said, we can see through a glass darkly from here. You mean God lets us see something from the glass? Yeah, he does. That emerald aurora borealis, you see, is from the throne of God. And all of this, you guys, anybody that's heard me over the years, you've heard me go into depth. I mean, I have long PowerPoint slides going through all this. But the firmament is a literal thing that God created on the second day, and it's still there. And he says, in some translations, it actually says, calls it the dome. That's why these occultists like Stephen King, remember he did the novel and the TV series, the dome. Had the people trapped under the dome. Oh, God, we got to get out of the dome. That's what they've been trying to do since the Tower of Babel, is get out of the dome. Guess what? God's like, you're not going anywhere.
It's not to infinity beyond, it's to the firmament, and that's it. That's why every rocket launch goes like this. That's why every rainbow looks like a dome. It's a, the sky is the limit. That's why they talk about the glass ceiling. The elites know it. Remember? See, that's another reason why I don't think God let Hillary win. She was like, we're going to break that glass ceiling. No, you're not, witchy poo. Not even symbolically. You're going home. You're going to be an angry witch on your little broom headed back to Arkansas, wherever you. Let's go back to Genesis. I know I got to quit in a second, but. So we had the second day. Let's look at the third day. And God said, let the waters, verse 9, let the waters under the heaven, so he's saying the waters under the firmament, heaven, be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so.
Whoa, there was no dry land.
No dry land. So he says, let the waters be gathered into one place, let the dry land appear. Right? Let the dry land appear. I love it. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth. And the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. Everybody see that? And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself. Upon the earth, and it was so, and the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. So the third day, we have God making the dry land, the grass, the trees, everything, all the folk coming forth. And there's still no sun. Wait a minute, how are the plants surviving? There's no UV light for them. No, there was light, it was him. All right? And guess what? The earth's not spinning, it's not flying, it's not doing anything. It's just sitting there upon its pillars, as he said he placed it, upon the seas. And then he says this. So we got the third day. Now the fourth day. God said, let there be lights. Somebody say lights. Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide. Not outside of the firmament. Somebody say in is different than outside. In the firmament. That would be like me saying my car is in the garage, not outside the garage. So he's saying, let the lights be in the firmament. Lights, not reflectors. Not nuclear reactors, lights. He said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven. Notice he says again, in the firmament, to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And he made two great lights. Let me see that. Remember Jesus said in the end, when right before he comes, the moon will not give off her light. The moon produces its own light just like the sun produces its own light. And in fact, they're different kinds of light. They've proven that already with laser thermometers. You can go out and test moonlight. Actually, like for instance, if you have a shadow in the sunlight and you have a shadow and you test the ground where the sun is shining, it's always going to be hotter than where the shadow is. But with the moon, it's the opposite. You test the shadow, right, and it's warmer. You test the direct moonlight, it's colder. The moon puts off a cold light. The sun puts off a warm light, okay? But he said that he made two great lights. Somebody say the moon's a light, not a reflector. The greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and he made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. Three times he says that he set them inside the firmament. Meaning they are not millions and millions and millions of light years away like you've been taught. I don't care what they've taught you. It is a lie, and God's word is true. They're in the firmament. Sometimes you look at, look, the fact that we can see, let me just tell you this, the fact that you can see, what is that crater called? The Tycho crater on the moon? Huh? Something like that. Tycho, I can't remember now. But that crater, allegedly, according to our white coats, is about 80 miles wide. Now, I don't believe that. I believe the whole moon's about 70 miles in diameter, and it's in our firmament. But let's just give them the benefit of the doubt, right? That it's 80 miles wide. Well, you can see that with the naked eye. You don't have to use a telescope. You don't have to use, you know, you can use a camera or a telescope and zoom in and see it better, but you can see it with the naked eye. Just like you can see the different, like the grayer parts of the moon and the whiter parts, you can see that. Now, they tell us that that moon is 240,000 miles away. So I did this with Google Earth. I found an island that's about 80 miles wide called Jamaica, about 80 miles long, right? And I said, let me just zoom out, right? Because it's supposed to be correct on altitude. Now, the highest that you can zoom out in Google Earth just happens to be 33,000 miles. I'll let y'all figure that out. Let me go ahead and tell you that long before you get, I think at about 11,000, 12,000 miles, you can't see Jamaica anymore at all. So you think that at 240,000 miles, you can see the Tycho or Tychus crater on the moon with the naked eye? No. You know what the moon looks like? It's right there sometimes, because it is just right there. Y'all hear what I'm saying? And this makes sense when he says he put them in the firmament. Remember, we just showed you, the firmament, anything above the firmament is the third heaven. It's where God sits, right? Did we see that in the Bible? So everything else has to be below him. Oh, that sounds about right too, doesn't it? Do you think God would put himself below his creation? No. That's why the Bible talks about he is set on high. He is above all. Oh, come on, y'all. No, the sun, moon, and stars are below the firmament, below his throne. All much smaller than you've been taught. And this is what the Bible teaches. This is not even getting into yet the shape of this thing, the earth. I won't even get to that this morning. I just want you to look at Genesis just in a plain little overview. It does not agree with them. There's no way. These Christians that are trying to somehow make Genesis work with NASA and Copernicus and Kepler's views. It's almost sad to watch. We try to make it fit. They're trying to put that square peg in the round hole, and it just doesn't work. There's no way you say these two are compatible in any way, these two different views of creation. No way. And, you know, we have theoretical physicists and PhDs and engineers. They've gone with me to do the long-distance tests across Mobile Bay. Ex-military officers, it's unreal, folks. I've searched for the curve. Can't find it. Every time I go, That water's level. It's sea level every time. And it's sea level for 6 miles, 10 miles, 20 miles, flat as it can be. So last time I checked, water had to have a container. And that once it settled, it was level. And that's how we even put water in levels to level things. Because water always levels. And if 71% of the earth is level, folks, what is it? Yeah. And I mean, we could go, you know, I've done all this. Like, I've done it. I did a series back last year called The Sevenfold Doctrine of Creation. If you hadn't seen it, you need to watch. If you've never seen it, that is the most thorough breakdown of all of this that I've given. I mean, each message is about 2 hours going through the real science. And let me just say, science is not a bad word for us. We're not science deniers here. But science, by definition, is something that you can test, observe, measure, and repeat, and it be the same thing. Okay, that's true science. If you can't test it, repeat it, observe it, and then repeat that experiment again and get the same results, that is what science is. This stuff, you got these people called theoretical astrophysicists. You know what they do? Their job, sit around and make up crap. And just make sure you throw in the word quantum a few times, and it's all you need to do. What was that name? That guy, Lawrence, what was his name? Krauss, Lawrence Krauss. He used to be at Arizona State University until he got caught being a pervert. All of them are just devils, y'all. We just found out Trudeau also had relations with a very young girl. And they covered that up for the last few years. But that's all coming out now. They're all a bunch of devils. Pretty much the people that rule the world now and try to control the information are all a bunch of devils. And serve the devil and are yielded to the devil. Now let's finish this real quick here. Because, hey, I got up here about an hour ago. So that's when the music ended. Verse 17, God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light and the darkness. And God saw that it was good. In the evening and the morning were the fourth day. So the fourth day, we finally get the sun, moon, and stars after the firmament is created. These things are not symbolic. There are people that say, well, it's just, you can't take the Bible literally. It's just symbolic. Well, wait a minute. Is the grass symbolic? Are the trees symbolic? Was Adam and Eve symbolic? What about the sun, moon, and stars? Are they just symbolic? Well, if they're not symbolic, neither is the firmament. That's the key to this whole thing. Because I guarantee you, they can't explain it to you biblically, or they won't. Now let's look at it. Keep going. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and fowl, that it may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. I love that. He's talking about the open space created by the firmament. He's letting you know, it's so specific. He's letting you know it's not flying in the solid firmament. That's not what I'm talking about. But in the open space below it. Because some people just will get it unless it's that plain and simple. Okay? So the birds, he made the birds. And God created the great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that and blessed, saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. I will make him, go too far here? Yeah, I got my pages sticking together. Likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. God blessed them. God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And we'll talk about that at another time. Then subdue it and have dominion over it, of the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every green tree which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed. To you it shall be given for meat. And then he goes on, and God saw everything that he made. Behold, it was good, and that was the sixth day. And then God rested on the seventh day. Now, again, I could spend a whole lot more time on this. Do you say, some people say, well, Pastor Dean, do you believe this was a literal 7 days? Yes, I do. Some people say, well, you know, the Bible talks about a day with the Lord. It says 1,000 years, 1,000 years, 1 day. Is that talking about creation in any context whatsoever? No. The term here, day, guess what it means? Day. It's not complicated. And we go, really? Do you think God needed 1,000 years to create something? No, he didn't. Well, he said, I'm going to create man. We're going to wait 1,000 years. I'm going to create something else. No. It was 6 days. Now, does that go along with anything we're taught from the white coats? No. Look, there's true science. Again, something you can confirm, something you can observe, something you can measure, something you can repeat. And then there's pseudoscience. There's kooky wooky science. There's just making up crap science. All right? That's what these vaccines are. All right? But the bottom line is you can speculate, we there was an explosion 4 billion years ago. Really? How do you know that? But they say it just like it's a matter of fact. You know, we knew somebody like that. They could lie. They could tell you a lie and make it sound. I mean, the way they inflected their voice and everything, just like they believed it. And they were saying it in such a way that, you know, you should believe them. And it was funny because Nancy would just go, you know, that's, you just told a lie right there. And sometimes it's funny. They would go, yeah. We like, stop making up crap. Folks, people lie. Let God be true and every man liar. Let's put that one up, Romans. Let God be true. This is what I'm saying. For Christians, we let God be true and everybody else a liar. What does that mean? Does that mean everybody's a liar? No. That means anybody that contradicts what God says is a liar. There is no counsel. And you can look this one up for me too. Proverbs. There is no counsel or wisdom against the Lord. Nothing. So, see, I don't care what these cats come up with. I don't care. They're going to tell me that, you know, 100 million light years across the earth is a black hole is going to suck us in 10,000 years or something. Really? That's not what God said. God said, heaven and earth will pass away. My words will not pass away. He said, forever. He said, the meek's going to inherit the earth. So every time they start talking about, oh, there's a meteor asteroid, it's going to destroy us. No, it's not. No, it's not. You hear me? And it's funny, just about time to get around Halloween, there's a skeleton-looking asteroid coming for us. And they show us a picture of it. Say, look at that skeleton. It looks like an asteroid's coming. It looks like a skeleton on Halloween. Coincidence. It's ridiculous. And then the artist. I love it. I love the blue marble artist at NASA. The data visualizer specialist or whatever it is. And he says about his picture of the Earth, it's Photoshop because it has to be. Why would you ever say that? It's Photoshop because you can't take a picture of it.
Because if you could get high enough, you could take a picture of the whole thing, but you can't. They can't get high enough. And they know they can't. And, you know, somebody, you know, the people that I'm going to end this, but there it is. I love it. But Proverbs 21:30, there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. If the Lord said there's a firmament, guess what, folks? There's a firmament. And if he says the stars are attached to that and they're going to be shaken and fall like figs from a fig tree when it's shaken, guess what? It's attached. The stars are attached. And they're all going to fall. You say, well, I choose to believe NASA. Well, I guarantee, okay, I'm going to tell you right now, if you do, that's your religion. Because you just have to believe them because you hadn't been up there to see the difference. So you're believing what a man says written in a book by a man. So you have a religion. People say, oh, they say, your Bible's just a book written by men. You just believe a book written by men. Well, you do too. Right? See, we're all going to be somebody's fool. Who's fool? You and me. Paul said, I'm a fool for Christ. I believe him because he's the only man that never sinned. He's the only one that never lied. He's the only one that died on a cross and rose from the dead. He's the only one that was foretold thousands of years before he would come. So you hear what I'm saying. I believe God. Who are you going to believe? I believe God. Believe God's word. God's word is true. And I want to tell you this right now. Believe it about everything. That's what's going to protect you. Remember it says in Revelation 20, when the people are beheaded in the end, the people, the Christians that are beheaded by the Antichrist for resisting the mark of the beast, it says that they were beheaded because they refused that and also because of their testimony for the word of God. John was persecuted and put on the Isle of Patmos, what it says, for the word of God. It's always over the word of God. The battle is always over that. And so I don't care. They can call me a fool if they want to call me a fool for believing this. But I guarantee you who the fool is going to be. You hear me? Now, maybe one day we'll go a little deeper in this. Sorry, some of you that are just your first time here, I promise you, this is about the lightest little overview of this subject that I've ever done. All right? Because my point today is not to get into all the details to prove all of this to you biblically or in the I can prove it with other outside sources about these things. But the bottom line is to get you to remember, look, as Christians, first and foremost, we are people who believe the Bible, every word, every word, every word. And that every word's important. And all scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine. And we do not move off of that, period. And I don't care because the day's coming. There's going to be signs, demonic signs and wonders in the heavens above. And there's going to be greater deceptions coming to us. And if you don't adhere to this book, you will be carried away by these deceptions. The one coming is the alien deception. That's coming. And there's going to be a bunch of Christians go, yeah, I knew the Bible wasn't true. I'm going to follow these creatures from Andromeda. Yeah, good luck with that. Because you know what I know about the Bible? I know there's God. There's angels. There's humans. There's fallen angels. There's demons. And then there's the mixture. The offspring. I know from this, there's nobody coming from millions and millions of light years away. They're already here, folks. And they've been here for thousands of years. They just take different forms and tell people different things to deceive them. But remember, the goal is always, the goal of all of these evil creatures and beings, the fallen angels, the demons, and the Nephilim, the giants, or the mutants, their goal is to take you away from Jesus Christ, to take you away from believing the Bible. So it all comes down to that. They're not aliens. They're devils. You hear me? But they're going to tell the world they're aliens. And the world will follow them. Because they have rejected. There's only two sides. And if you reject one, you will go with the other. Right? Let's stand.
Amen. Well, now we know why you're not a megachurch.
Yes. I have never been ashamed of God's word, ever. And once God taught me something, and I saw it in the word and studied it out, I have never backed away, and I never will. Because, see, you know what? You say, well, Pastor Dean, what? Oh, this issue is going to lose. You're going to lose the governor's race because of this. So what? I don't care. Do you think I would compromise or sell my soul or what I believe to become governor? No. Plus, I wrote a 479-page book. There's 500 sermons out there on video. So who's hiding? I'm not hiding anything. But you know what's happening? The truth is being told to some folks that don't want it, that probably would have never heard it. And again, I don't care. If they want to persecute me over my religious beliefs about creation, so be it. I mean, the world's going to be like, he's a tongue-talking, believes in prophecy. And I mean, I've heard it all, so I don't care. I don't care. God's word is true, and if men contradict that, then they're liars. It's that simple to me. Amen. Let's do, what song? We did so many good ones. I want to do one more song before we leave. The Blood song. That was so good. Because this is what it's all about, folks. And listen, those of you watching out there, I mean, we have people in New Zealand, Australia, that are in the new island prisons of New Zealand and Australia that watch us. And, you know, we've got people all over the world. I'll just say this. If you're not born again, it's not hard. Jesus died for your sins. He rose from the dead. You believe that in your heart. Believe God's word. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to be Lord of your life. And then repent. Say, I turn from my sins, and I'm going to follow you, Jesus. I'm going to get to know you. And you will, as you seek him and draw near to him, as you do that, there will be a point that the Holy Spirit will bear witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. You will be born again. And it's all about this faith in his blood. Faith in his shed blood to wash your sins away. It's the only thing. Muhammad, Buddha, none of them can do it for you. Only Jesus can wash your sins away. Only Jesus can give you eternal life. Only Jesus can help you escape the damnation of hell. Only Jesus. So that offends them as well because they say, oh, there's many religions. All religions lead to God. No, they don't. No, they don't. Only Jesus. Sorry, it's only Jesus. So let's do this and then we'll be dismissed.
Was a wretch, I remember who I was. I was lost, I was blind, I was running out of time. Sin separated, the breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, you held me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross, you paid the debt I owe. Broke my chains, freed my soul for the first time. Thank you, Jesus. It has won.
took my place, laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, but then you walked right out again. And now death has no sting, and life has no end. For I have been transformed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus, for the
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your blood that was shed for my sins and applied to my life when I believed. When I believed the preaching of the cross and your resurrection from the dead, I thank you, Lord, that you washed my sins away, that you caused my spirit to be resurrected, regenerated, renewed, alive, that I was born again through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ shed on that cross and the resurrection from the dead. Lord, we love you today. We exalt you today. Again, we thank you for giving us the Bible, the truth, and we thank you for your spirit that dwells with us and in us to lead us and guide us in all truth and to teach us the scriptures. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we will not be ashamed of you or of your words, especially in these last days. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, go ahead and praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The truth shall set you free. Man, Jesus said, if you will continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. No truth apart from this word. You hear me? You continue in the word. All right. Well, y'all know the drill. You got to hug some necks before you leave. We're going to do what we do every Sunday. We're going to meet downstairs and eat. So you can go get what you like from whatever restaurant you like. Come back and eat with us. And bye to those of you out there in internet land.